Welcome to the latest episode of the Gospel Podcasts. These recordings are published weekly by the Christians that assemble at the Hospital Hill Gospel Hall in Dunfermline, Scotland. Be assured you are in our prayers, and we know that God will bless you for listening. Further information is provided at the end of this short podcast. I now pass you over to the latest message recently recorded at the Gospel Hall. Thank you.
Well, a very good afternoon to all of you again. Thanks so much for being here for the preaching of the gospel. We trust that what we say will be a help to you this afternoon, and we trust you'll be blessed for being here. Now, let's turn to the Word of God and read one verse, Romans chapter 5, please. Romans chapter 5, and it's just verse 19 that I'm interested in. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. I'll just read that again so we can get our heads around it. It says, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And we look to the Lord just to add a blessing to his word so that we might be helped as we think about these verses together. Here in this verse of the Bible, Paul is writing to some people a long time ago, and he's speaking to them about the gospel. Now, when I call this message the gospel, what he's really covering as he writes to these people is, number one, why we need to be saved from our sins. That's a big chunk of what Paul's been writing about. Why we need to be saved. And then a lot of what else Paul is writing about is then how we can be saved from our sins. I know that's very simple, but it's very important we get these simple things clear in our heads. Paul is writing about why we need to be saved. We do need to be saved. And he's writing about how we can be saved from our sins. And later in the book, in Romans, he's talking about what it looks like when we do get saved, what kind of life we live before God. But right in this chapter, he's focusing in on something very important, and he's bringing out contrasts between Adam and the Lord Jesus. Adam and the Lord Jesus. And the thing he's honing in on is the choices they made. The choices they made. Now, I'm sure unless you were living under a rock, you will know that earlier, last week, just at the end of last week, lots of people, thousands of people in the UK were making choices. They were going into a wee place called a polling station. And I've never actually been in one, so I don't know what goes on, but I'm told that you go to a wee bit and there's a wee piece of paper and you're meant to put an X. They were having a debate and discussing in the news, was it okay if you put a tick beside the name, or do you have to put an X? Is your vote void if you put a tick? I think you got away with it if you put a tick. I don't know what you did. But either way, you're meant to mark your wee thing, and when you put your mark on the bit of paper, you were making a choice. And you had to put a choice beside a name, and you were saying, that's my decision. I'm choosing that man to be my politician. Now, when I was thinking about the thousands of choices that were getting made on Thursday, I was thinking about this verse. And I was thinking about three choices that are far bigger than the choices that were made on the 7th of May. Far more important. Far grander choices that I can think about when I look at this verse. The first choice I think about, and this is easy enough, even if you're sleepy, you might even be able to remember this wee outline. The first choice we're thinking about is the saddest of choices. A really sad choice. You see, this Bible verse, when it speaks about one man's disobedience, it takes me back to the Garden of Eden. Here we are. Everything's lovely. Everything's beautiful. God made everything beautiful in the beginning. And everything is just sitting exactly the way God wanted it to be. And God looks on it all and he says, it's very good. It's very good. Here's Adam and Eve.
the first man and the first woman. And they're given a rule, to teach them this, that when you live on planet Earth, you don't just go about doing whatever you feel like. What kind of world would we be in if we did that? I think we know. Actually, when you live on planet Earth, you're meant to do what God wants, not whatever you feel like. And so God gave them a rule to understand that. It wasn't too long, I suspect. There was a little snake comes slithering along. It wasn't too long before Adam made a terrible choice. He decided to rebel against God. Instead of doing what God wanted, he did what he wanted and what Eve wanted. And he made a terrible choice, and it had a huge consequence. That's why everything goes wrong in the world. That's why, actually, believe it or not, we've got politicians who are saying, vote me in and I'll fix everything. Stuff needs fixed in our world. And people are queuing up to get you to trust them so that they can fix it for us. But friends, can I tell you, even if we recruited 1,000 of the best politicians who've ever lived, and even if we instituted the most wonderful parliament that's ever been seen, and even if we used every strategy that's ever been dreamt up in a university, we would still be sinners before God. We would still have a broken relationship with the one that made us. And the Bible tells us something tragic. That if we die in our sins, if we go through this life and never get right with God, never have our sins forgiven, if we are never saved from our sins, then after this life is over, we will never make it to God's heaven. In fact, we'll end up in hell. I'm glad there is a heaven, friends. Like, what a sad life it would be if there was nothing better than this broken world. Like, there's an awful lot of misery around. There's people and they're upset because they don't have enough money to do the things they need to do. There's a lot of people upset because crime is all around us. A lot of people upset because the NHS, they say, isn't what it's supposed to be. I think it's great. My wife works for the NHS. I think the NHS is wonderful. But can I tell you, friends, there is somewhere better than this sad world. There is a heaven. But unless you get saved, you'll never make it. You'll never make it. You know, there's somewhere worse than this world. I hear people say sometimes, because they're going through really horrible things in life, they say, I am going through hell. I'm always a wee bit sad when I hear them say that. For a couple of reasons. Number one, they must be going through a really difficult thing in life. So I really feel sorry for them and I feel sad for them that they feel that way. But secondly, it reminds me that it's never really dawned on them that unless they get saved from their sins, unless that big issue between them and God is sorted out, they are going to end up in hell. And it's far worse than anything they've ever experienced on this earth. So, dear friend, I would love you to reflect on Adam's sad choice. I'd love you to realize that sin is not just a problem out there in the world. There's sin in my heart. And sin is not just the things I do. A sinner is what I am. And unless I am rescued from my sins, I'll miss out on heaven and I'll end up in hell. And so we've thought then about the saddest choice when Adam rebelled against God. The second thing I want to talk about is not the saddest choice. I want to talk about the Saviour's choice. The Saviour's choice. You see, we read here about one man's disobedience. That was Adam. And we all ended up sinners. But the verse goes on and speaks about the obedience of one that makes many righteous. This is now making us think about the Lord Jesus. Why did the Lord Jesus come? Why did the Lord Jesus come? You see, he came to improve society. Oh, friends, I'm glad the Lord Jesus came for something more important than to improve society. Oh, certainly, if everybody became Christians, society would improve. But the big reason the Lord Jesus came to this earth was not to improve society. You know what the Bible says? The Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. Here's a broken world. Here's us, sinners before God, not right with God. Guilty before Him. Facing His judgment after this life is over. And here's the eternal counsels of God before we were ever born. God looks down and it says, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Out of the ivory palaces into this world of woe. Here's the Lord Jesus stepping out of glory into a sad, broken world. Lord, why have you come? The Bible says Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I stand in wonder as I see the wee baby at Bethlehem. And I hear the angels say, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. I stand at a well and I see the Lord Jesus. He's been sitting on the well talking to a poor lady whose life had become a mess with sin, facing God's judgment. But she realised that this person, the Lord Jesus Christ, could save her from her sins. She goes and tells everybody in the city, and they all come out and they say this: this is the Christ, the Saviour of the world. Friends, I'm so glad there is a Saviour for sinners like us. And even though we've sinned against God, and even though we deserve His judgment, the Lord Jesus came into this world to save us from our sins. It is possible for us to be saved. And even though politicians can't save us and take us to glory, the Lord Jesus came into this world. You know, one of the things about politicians is they've all got skeletons in the closet. What I mean is this: secrets they don't want people finding out. You know, when they're starting to get into the public and coming to the fore, the journalists that write the newspapers, or some of you younger ones, you're laughing at the thought of a person reading a newspaper. I used to read newspapers. I know you find it hard. You think I'm so young, I would never read a newspaper. I know you think it's all online now, or you get your news digitally. But some of us, we quite like the thought of a newspaper, especially a broadsheet where you get quality journalism instead of the tabloid rubbish. But friends, the journalists get all excited when somebody stands for election because they probe into their story and their past and they say, not sure about that. Should this man really be allowed to help us as a politician? He's actually a bit dodgy. Do you know he did this bad thing a few years back? Do you know he's got this secret? He doesn't want anybody finding out. He's actually a crook. I'm glad to tell you that when I talk to you about the Lord Jesus Christ, that I can tell you about one man's obedience, and I can tell you he has no skeletons in the closet, and every moment of every day when the Lord Jesus Christ was here on this earth, he obeyed his Father God in every single respect, and he's got nothing to hide. I'm not embarrassed about anything about the Lord Jesus. I'm so thrilled to talk to people about the Lord Jesus because he has no embarrassing secrets. He's no shameful past. He's not got any sins like me. He's absolutely sinless. And yet he came to be our Saviour. And the Bible says that day came when the one who deserves only praise, he put himself forward to receive the punishment for our sins. That's what happened at Calvary. That's what happened at the cross. You know, politicians need a lot of security, don't they? You all know that. Like, they might get a milkshake thrown at them, for example. And, it gets a bit scarier than that in the USA, isn't it? Somebody might shoot at you. And they need security and protection. But most of the time, nothing too bad happens to them. It's just past the anniversary, 30th of March it was, 1981, where one of the US presidents, his name was Ronald Reagan, had been doing a speaking engagement at the Hilton Hotel in Washington. And he was just getting from the hotel into his vehicle, Ronald Reagan. And I know 1981 seems like so long ago, and believe it or not, it was before I was born, but Ronald Reagan was getting into a car. And right then, a man called John Hinckley Jr. jumped out of the crowd and pulled a gun and started firing at Ronald Reagan. There was a Secret Service man. You know those guys with a wee white bit on their thing? And they've always got a gun tucked in here. A Secret Service man, his name was called Tim McCarthy. And you can see it on video. He actually stepped out like this and made himself big. And the bullet went smacking into Tim McCarthy. And it missed Ronald Reagan. You know, they bundled Ronald Reagan into the car. Some of the other Secret Service men bundled him away, got him away off the scene. And you'd hardly believe it, right? Even though Tim McCarthy had taken a bullet for Ronald Reagan, they discovered in the car actually another bullet had hit him. Tim McCarthy hadn't taken all the bullets. And they had to rush Ronald Reagan to hospital. He was immediately into surgery and he only survived by the skin of his teeth. God was gracious to him and raised him up again and allowed him to live a bit longer. And Tim McCarthy, the man that took a bullet, he lived as well. Had a happy ending, that story, in one sense. But what a moment of sacrifice it was. What a decision it was. What a choice was made when Tim McCarthy stepped out and said, I will take this bullet so that that president stays safe. Friends, something bigger happened at the cross. The Lord Jesus made a choice. We are the ones who deserve the full blast of the judgment of God. And yet in love for our souls, the Lord Jesus stepped out. He stretched out his hands on that cross. He took the nails, but he took worse than the nails. In the darkness of Calvary, he suffered at the hand of God for our sin, for our wrongdoing, for our punishment. Why would he make that choice? Because he wants to save you. Because he loves you. The difference with the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus and the sacrifice of Tim McCarthy, one of the big differences is this. The Lord Jesus dealt with the whole problem. The whole problem. Tim McCarthy dealt with a bit of the problem. The Lord Jesus dealt with it all and took the full blast of the judgment of God and paid the legal penalty for sin. And at the cross he said, "It is finished." He did something for you at that cross. He died so you can be saved. And 3 days later, the Lord Jesus Christ rose in resurrection glory. And he's now ascended to heaven. And for 2,000 years, he's been saving guilty sinners just like me, just like others in this room. And it's all because of what he did at that cross, the choice he made to be the saviour of sinners. That brings me to the last thing. The last choice I want to talk about is not now the saddest choice, that's Adam in the garden, or the Saviour's choice, that's the Lord Jesus dying for our sin. But what about the sinner's choice? The sinner's choice. You see, it says in that verse, as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, that's Adam, so by the obedience of one many are made righteous. Here's the question. How do I get to be one of the many that are made righteous? Maybe you've got that question. Maybe you'd love to be right with God. Maybe you'd love to be saved. And you say, how can I be one of the many that are made righteous? Well, earlier on in Romans chapter 3, we get the answer. There Paul says, God is just. But thank God, he is the justifier of them that believe in Jesus. You know that fancy word, justifier? It means the one who makes righteous. The one who declares righteous. That's what it means. The Bible verse is telling us this. That all who decide to believe on the Lord Jesus, all who trust him, God declares them right in his sight. The moment they trust Christ as their own Saviour. I wonder if you've ever done that. You know, on the 7th of May, it was all about trusting a candidate for election. But what Paul's talking about is trusting Christ for salvation. On the 7th of May, it was to improve society. Trusting a man to improve society. But today, when it's the gospel, it's about trusting the Lord Jesus with your soul, putting yourself in his hands for eternity. On the 7th of May, it was about an election over 5 years. You know, the parliament will last for 5 years, and then if you're fed up with it, you can have another go and try another party or try another person and do what you like and have another go to try and sort it out, and you're giving them 5 years. When it talks about believing in the Lord Jesus, it's not saying, I'll give the Lord Jesus 5 years. When it talks about getting right with God and being saved, being justified, it is about trusting him for eternity and putting yourself in his hands forever. And I just wonder, if you're not saved and you're listening to this afternoon, what you'll do. Listen again to the verse. By the disobedience of one man, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one, many are made righteous. And the challenge for you is this. Are you among the many? As we've thought about these choices and we've thought about these important decisions, may the Lord help you. If you're not saved, that today will become a day of your salvation. Let's bow our heads and pray.
I need no other argument.
Thank you once again for taking the time to listen to this, the latest episode in the Gospel Podcast series. We trust that God will bless you for listening. And if you've not already done so, that you would take this opportunity to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the eternal salvation of your precious soul. If you would like further information, or indeed a free personal copy of God's Word, the Bible, you're welcome to contact us. Full contact details can be found on our website, www.hospitalhillgospelhall.org. May God bless you, and goodbye for now.